Hello, everyone. This is Around the Bases of Birdland with Kyle Andrews, and we have a special guest today. He joined me on Baltimore Flockcast previously. It's Jake Hassan from, you know, all the other sites that he writes for. Jake, you got to list them all.
Yeah, I've been around. I used to be at RO Baseball with you, as you know, and now at NG Baseball at MLB Random Stats, and currently writing for a Bears blog called Chicago Sports Nation. So I'm making the round.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that Jake does know is baseball. So that's the first. I mean, of course, we're going to talk about that today. It's Around the Bases of Birdland on Fox Sports 1340, of course. And one thing that we've seen during the offseason so far, the short offseason after the Houston Astros won the World Series, is that, you know, Shohei Ohtani from Japan, we don't know where he's going yet, but it's very possible that he will be posted soon. I think they said something about him only being able to make $3.5 million this season. Is that correct?
I haven't really looked into what he'll be able to make. I know, as far as I know, the posting fee is going to be, I imagine, very high. He's only 23. But as far as what he'll be able to make personally, I'm not sure. All I know is that he's recently looked at an agent and found an agent. So I think we'll find out more information as that process goes along.
Well, with that being said, what teams do you think he's going to? Because, I mean, he can pitch. You know, of course he can hit. But they don't know what position in the field he's going to play. So, I mean, some people have said, you know, why doesn't he just go to the AL where he could DH? And, you know, he could pitch, take a day off, and then DH for the rest of the week until he pitches again. Do you think that's something that would be, you know, a good idea for him to take into consideration before he goes and plays in the MLB?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the AL is the obvious fit because of the DH being present. It seems like when we talk about Ohtani and the rumors, there's a lot more AL teams in those rumors than NL teams, which makes sense. I mean, it's obviously easier to fit him into a DH spot and have him pitch on regular rest, as you said, than for an NL team to try and figure out where he's going to play in a field and then figure out his starts. You mentioned teams that are looking like where he'll go. I think the Yankees are up there, obviously. They have the money. They have a lot of contracts coming off the books soon and already. CC Sabathia's big contract just came off the books. So, and I think the marketing opportunity there is huge. I think that'll be a personal draw for him. Elsewhere outside of New York, I think the Rangers, they've already established that they are a destination for Japanese players to go. We saw what they did with Yu Darvish. They made him into an all-star. And then also, I think wherever Yu Darvish signs, I think that'll be a destination that's at least looked at least for the opportunity to pair up with a former Japanese and current MLB star pitcher. I think that'll be an attraction. But I'd say right now, it's the Yankees and the Rangers at the top. I heard maybe that the Mariners might be in it, but that hinges on if they get Darvish.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if the Mariners to me makes a lot of sense because the Japanese community in Seattle is vast, and I feel like, you know, he would fit in a lot better, especially with the fact that, you know, Ichiro played there before, and you saw how Seattle embraced Ichiro. I think, you know, you can't put every Japanese player in a box, but I do feel like that helps. You know, especially when you come to a different community or a different country and you play, and it's, you know, it's a shell shock for many players. I mean, it's a way different place than, you know, playing in Japan where you're familiar with people. It's just like if an American player went over and played in Japan, you know, they would be out, it would be out of this world for them. So I feel like with, you know, Ohtani, he's going to go to a place. I mean, I think he's going to a team on the West Coast personally. And I think the team that makes the most sense are the Mariners. But like you said, the Yankees also makes a lot of sense because the marketing is huge in New York. New York has a great deal of Japanese sports writers as well. That's one thing that a lot of people don't know about New York is that, you know, the Japanese writers are entrenched in the community. They cover Masahiro Tanaka constantly, and they do a very good job of it. And so it kind of keeps him in the flow of things. So I feel like Ohtani would be a really good fit with the Yankees. But as for some of the other news and MLB, you know, I feel like we talked about this before the show even started. Giancarlo Stanton, where is he going? Is he going to stay with the Marlins or is he getting moved this offseason? What do you think is going to happen? And where do you even think he's going?
You know, it seems that the new ownership group led by Derek Jeter, obviously we saw that was a huge story as the season was ending. It seems that they're very intent on at least a partial rebuild. They said they want to cut their payroll down to $90 million, which Stan's contract pays him at least $25 million over the next 10 years, so that's a huge part of that payroll. It certainly sounds like Jeter and his partners are intent on dealing Stanton. And, I mean, the rumors so far this offseason, before the season even ended, the rumors were flying how Stanton was on the move. So it certainly seems like they will be trying to move him. I don't think he stays in Miami. I think Jeter is eager to get this rebuild on the move. I think he's trying to expedite the process of getting the Marlins back to relevancy. You know, obviously, I'm going to say, as a Cardinals fan, yes, I hope he does go to St. Louis. They seem to be in the lead so far as the rumors go so far. As a Cardinals fan, that would be awesome. I would love to see him in St. Louis. I think he'd be really good there. A top four of Dexter Fowler, Stephen Piscotty, Matt Carpenter, and Giancarlo Stanton, or some version of that would be awesome, I think. And that's not even to mention the other players that are in that lineup, Colt Wong, Jed Jerko, Yadier Molina showed that he could still hit for average. So I think he'd be great in St. Louis. I think it would make them a legitimate threat in the Central again because they haven't made the playoffs in the last 2 years. So I think they need this kind of star bat. Objectively, obviously, the Giants have been linked to Stanton. I think they have a good chance. They want to try and make the most out of the core that they currently have with Bumgarner and Posey. Those guys aren't getting any younger. The Phillies, we've always heard about how they're waiting to count on someone to really jumpstart their rebuild because they have prospects, they have the money. They're just waiting for that right player to come around to be their centerpiece. Could be them. And, I mean, elsewhere, you never want to rule out teams like the Dodgers or the Yankees. We discussed them. The Red Sox could even come to play. We know that they need some more power. They were 27th in the league in homers this year. But even objectively, I still think that the Cardinals have to be the front runner as of right now due to the prospects that they have and that the money they have spent. I mean, there's a lot of smoke. There's got to be some fire.
I mean, the prospects definitely make sense. One thing that I've also heard, because, you know, Giancarlo Stanton is a LA guy, you know, he's been linked to the Dodgers a little bit as well. They have a lot of prospects. Everybody knows that they have guys like Walker Buehler, you know, other players as well. And, you know, he's a guy that I feel like could help the Marlins in the future. You know, they're going to give them a lot of prospects, whatever. I mean, whoever he goes to, I don't know. I know the Cardinals have a lot of good ones as well. I'm not entirely sure all of the prospects because I what my expertise is. I'm more of I know the Orioles like the back of my hand, but the Cardinals, it seems like as well, you know, they always seem to have these guys that pop up out of nowhere that are rookies. They can trade guys away. You know, they did it with Shelby Miller in the past. They did it with other players where they can just move them for more pieces. And I mean, it seems like with Stanton, it's a true possibility that they can go out and get Stanton with the amount of prospects and firepower that they have.
Right. And I mean, but if we're looking at it in the past, the Cardinals haven't had a true star since Albert Pujols in 2011 when his walk year, when they obviously won the World Series in that seven-game series with the Rangers. I mean, the Cardinals haven't had a true superstar since then. They've had good players. They've had David Fried. They've had Alan Craig. Matt Carpenter has risen up so far. But they haven't had that true guy that everyone fears, that pitchers do not want to come at in the lineup. And like you said, they've had guys pop up who have been good players who otherwise weren't very highly regarded. We saw it with Stephen Piscotty, Randall Grichuk, Tommy Pham was a revelation last year. But they've never had that true star. And I think those players are coming, especially in the pitching line. Alex Reyes is going to be a superstar, I believe. They also have guys, other pitchers behind them, Jack Flaherty, Luke Weaver, Sandy Alcantara. Those guys are going to be really good. But speaking of those pitchers, the Cardinals have been said that they're willing to dangle them to get Stanton. Now, Stanton's contract is huge, as we mentioned, so it all depends on how much money the Cardinals take. So the more money the Cardinals take, the less they'll have to give up in prospects. But the less they want to give up in prospects, the more they'll have to take money. The less money they want to take, the more they'll have to give up in prospects. So it's really trying to find that balance of how much money the Marlins want to keep and what they want prospect-wise, and vice versa with the Cardinals. I think John Mozeliak and the rest of that front office know how to balance it. They've made deals with such balance before. I mean, look at the John Lackey for Joe Kelly and Alan Craig trade. They very finely walk the line of salary and also prospect value. So I think it can get done. Cardinals Twitter lately has been throwing out a lot of variations of potential trades, and almost every single one of them includes at least one of the Cardinals' top pitchers, which I would be fine with, because I think you also have to look in the scope of who they have in the rotation right now. Carlos Martinez, he is the ace right now. He's an all-star talent. Michael Wacha, he showed last year that he can still be something. If he might not be the number one that we thought he was in 2013, but he could be a solid number three, number two. Luke Weaver had 10 really great starts at the end of the year. And then Alex Reyes, as I mentioned before, is coming back. He is a potential ace, potential true number one. And then you also have to look at, they just hired Mike Maddux from the Nationals, who's a really highly regarded pitching coach, who's really done wonders with guys like Gio Gonzalez, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg. So I think the Cardinals are willing to give up some of their prospects for a guy like Stanton who's ready to contribute now.
Yeah, I mean, Stanton, you know, they need, I'd say as well, that they need to, you know, they need to make a plunge. It's something that everybody always says, you know, with the Orioles, they said, well, why don't they make a plunge on starting pitching? And I feel like, you know, the Cardinals, they have been able to easily develop that starting pitching, whereas, like, the Orioles have been able to easily develop those, you know, all-star bats. And that's something that, you know, was actually expressed in this article, as well as, you know, bullpen guys as well with the Orioles. So, it's one trade that, you know, Steven Pegasus from Viva Alberto's, which is the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, SB Nation site. He actually proposed this wild trade, and it's kind of a doozy. I mean, is Michael Wacha and a throw-in for Austin Hayes and Michael Givens? If you're familiar with Michael Givens and Austin Hayes, if you're an Orioles fan, when people are listening. Obviously, Michael Givens is the Orioles setup man, and he had a pretty decent season this year. He's usually a really, you know, he's a good player. He's a very good setup man. He's not Zach Britton, obviously. I mean, but he is getting better and better each season that he's actually started as a reliever. He used to be a shortstop. So the fact that he has come this far in his development as a reliever is huge. I mean, he had a 2.75 ERA last season, and he had a 2.3 WAR in 69 games. So, I mean, he pitched very well. over 78.2 innings. So, you know, it's not like Givens is just a throwaway. Austin Hayes is actually one of the Orioles' top prospects. He is a very good center fielder. I mean, that's where he projects. But obviously, Adam Jones is there. So for the time being, if the Orioles do keep him around, he is the guy that will be playing. He'll be playing right field next season. So, you know, they have a guy that's a top prospect. He's 22 years old. He's going to be a very good hitter when he gets to the majors. The thing is, and he already has gotten to the majors, they just have to figure out, will he stay or will he go? Do the Orioles want to win now, or do they want to trade away guys? Or do they want to keep guys for the future? And so, you know, I don't know so much about this trade, but what do you have to say about a potential Michael Walker trade for a prospect and a very good reliever?
I'm familiar with Gibbons' work, and I won't even question that the Cardinals' bullpen does need work. It was very bad last year, and now they've let go of Trevor Rosenthal and Sung Wan Oh, who 2 years ago were two of their best relievers. So the bullpen has voids to fill, and they have a very long way to go talent-wise. Gibbons would automatically slide into that closer's role, no doubt about it. But I struggle with the idea of trading away Michael Wacha, only because he was solid last year. He showed a lot of things, and I think Mike Maddux will help him a lot if he were to stay in St. Louis. I think the reason that in this proposed trade, Michael Wacha is the one to go is because we're still counting on Adam Wainwright to be in the rotation, which myself personally, I don't see. I think Wainwright moves to the bullpen this year. I think it's the best move for his career and for the team. And he's always shown himself to be a team-first guy. So I do see Adam Wainwright gliding into the setup man role, if not the closer role, if the Cardinals can't find someone like Givens or even sign a Wade Davis or a Greg Holland. In which case, if Adam Wainwright were to move to the bullpen, I think we needed to keep Wacha because he would be a very central part of that rotation then.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I think the Cardinals don't want to do anything until they're very clear on the Stanton situation, going back to that. I think Stanton's their first priority, and then they'll fill out the roster from there. Because I think if they get rid of Stanton, if they acquire Stanton, then they're giving up some pitching prospects who would otherwise be able to fill one or two roles in the bullpen, in which case they would have to delve into free agency or possibly more trades. I don't hate that trade, but the second part of that is the Cardinals have a lot of outfield prospects. They have Magno Sierra, who's a burner. The kid can absolutely fly down the line. He had a cup of coffee in the majors this year, and he showed himself to very well be ready for major league play. Harrison Bader also got time in the majors. I think he's a legitimate all-star in the future. And then even further down in the minors, they have a guy like Nick Plumer, who was their first-round pick 2 years ago. Piscotty's still, I think, in his mid-20s, early 20s. Randall Grichuk is still around. I don't see the need for the Cardinals to acquire a top outfield prospect. Again, I don't hate it for the fact of getting Givens, but I also think that saying something like that would happen, we have to see what else the front office does with this Cardinals team because there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, of course. And another thing that, other people have mentioned is like the Orioles, of course, are dangling Zach Britton as well. Or are they dangling Zach Britton? We don't know. You know, that's something that they haven't been clear on. Obviously, the Cardinals have a need in the bullpen, like you said. Are there any prospects that they would be willing to, move in for Zach Britton, who, had a down season last year because he was injured? It wasn't really anything that he could do about it. I mean, I know he had a sore forearm and he had a bad knee that he actually is getting some work done on during the off season. So he should be back at full strength next season. But what do you think the Cardinals would do when it comes to possibly trying to acquire Zach Britton? Is that something that you could see as being feasible?
I Well, I think it's feasible. You never want to say never on any trade, on any player. And obviously, Britton's been so good for so long. One outlier of a year when it comes to injury isn't going to bring his value down any. I believe he's still relatively young, right?
Yeah, Zach Britton is 29, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, relievers go well into their 30s. So this is a top-tier guy, one of the top closers you're getting. I think it's feasible, and I think if you were to include Britton and Givens in a package together, I think that's when you start talking about the Orioles getting some of the Cardinals' top prospects, whether it be one of their outfielders or one of their pitchers. And as you mentioned before, the Orioles do need pitching desperately, and the Cardinals have a lot of very good pitching prospects in which I think they start to come into the conversation. I think Reyes stays off the table because they know his worth and they know what he can do, but I think when you look at Luke Weaver, Jack Flaherty, Sandy Alcantara, Austin Gomber, Dakota Hudson, I think when you look at those guys, they're all on the table. Because the thing with the Cardinals is the Cubs aren't going away, and the Brewers are up and coming, so the Cardinals want to stay ahead of this curve. So they'll do what they can to stay relevant, and that does start with a bullpen and a possible Stanton trade. I think it's feasible, yes. I think it's feasible. I think the Cardinals would be willing to dangle some of their top pitching talent for a package centered around Britton, because in 2016, he was the best closer in the game, and everybody knows that. So that value isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing is, like, I guess a couple of months ago, back when Zach Britton actually, you know, revealed that he had that knee injury, he had been pitching with that knee injury since 2014. So this is actually dating back to when he first became closer. So during that amazing 2016 run, you know, Zach Britton had a knee injury, and it was something that bothered him for quite some time. So if he could pitch with that knee injury, I couldn't even imagine how good he could be, you know, being fully healthy. And it looks like next season, because they finally resolved the issue, you know, he could possibly be fully healthy. So if he does stay with the Orioles are going to have the best closer in the game back, in my opinion, if he's at full strength. But if he does get traded, whatever team that gets him, you know, they're going to have a great time having, Zach Britton in the bullpen. He's a consummate pro. You know, he's the kind of guy that's going to go out there and work. And he doesn't like to go down losing. Everybody sees how hard he fights out there with his sinker. And, you know, he isn't going to shy away from the highest challenge. And I know that's cliche when you talk about closers there. Of course, they're coming in high-pressure situations. They're not the type of guys that are going to shy away from a challenge. That's just who they are, you know. But Zach Britton embodies all of that. And I feel like when you put him in a bullpen like the Cardinals bullpen, I feel like that instantly makes them, you know, a much better team. Even if he's just, you know, as a closer, that's going to save them so many games.
Right. I mean, you can never talk about a closer's value too much. I mean, look what Greg Holland did for the Rockies this year. I mean, he was unbelievable for them, and in the first half, he was part of their relevance. On the point of you saying Britton's the best closer in the game, I think you might catch some heat from some Dodger and Red Sox fans when it comes to Kenley Jansen and Craig Kimbrell. But, I mean, I agree with you. Britton's up there. I mean, he's easily top three, if not the best. I mean, you can definitely make that argument. And, you know, you said how Zach Britton's a pro's pro. And I think, to talk about cliches, he kind of fits that Cardinal way that, you know, people talk about every year. You know, he just goes in, puts his head down, and puts the work in. So I think that, in a potential scenario, would really appeal to John Mozeliak in the front office. He's just, you know, one of those Cardinal way guys. He just quietly does his work, does what's asked of him, and just goes with it. He's a bulldog. So I think that's definitely feasible. I would love it. I mean, if the Cardinals were to get Stanton and Britton in the same offseason, I mean, that'd be peak fandom since 2011. Do I see them getting both? No. I think Stanton and Givens are feasible together. But, I mean, like I said, it all depends on where the Stanton talk goes for the Cardinals. And I think that's the same for a lot of teams. I think I don't think the Phillies will move forward until they know what happens with Stanton. I don't think the Giants will move forward. Dodgers, anyone else involved with that handling. I think, you know, there's a lot of free agents out there. Arrieta, Yu Darvish, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer. But I think Giancarlo Stanton is the first big piece to fall before players and teams start making their decisions on how to approach free agency and other situations.
Okay. So, I mean, with that being said, so if, let's say, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, does go to the Cardinals, what do you think the outlook will be on some of the other players that, like J.D. Martinez and, you know, some of the other big bets that are around as well?
Oh, I think if Stan does get moved, so in the situation that you say, Stan gets moved to the Cardinals, J.D. Martinez is the next man up. I mean, all the teams, I mean, the Red Sox come calling, maybe even the Giants, but J.D. Martinez is the next, the hottest guy out there. I mean, we saw what he did with the Diamondbacks. He was having a good season in Detroit, and then he went and hit a home run almost every other game in Arizona once he got there. So he's easily the next man up. I'd say maybe he might be the first. I think the Red Sox like him a lot. They might not wait around for Stanton. I think they'll evaluate their position, and if they like their chances at Martinez more than Stanton, they'll move for him first. But I mean, J.D. Martinez is the next guy to go. If Stanton stays or goes after Martinez, it's Hosmer and Moustakas. Then I think you start seeing Darvish and Arrieta go, and then that next year is all the rest: the Carlos Gomez's, the Carlos Gonzalez, Lorenzo Cain. Those guys are third, fourth tier at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have guys like Darvish and some of the other people, you'll have to see that first before anything goes on. Of course, the Orioles are like one of those teams that they wait until later on in the offseason until all the pieces have fallen to make huge moves. I don't think there will be a Jake Arrieta in Baltimore reunion. I mean, a few people do. I don't think, you know, many people in the norm would actually think that Arrieta is coming back. But as for some of the other free agents, Eric Hosmer, I believe that he'll be returning to the Royals. You know, he's a Royals kind of guy. I think many people think that he's going to receive somewhere in the neighborhood of, 6 for $150 million? Or less. Is it nothing more though? I've heard some, you know, say that the Royals may be able to get him for as low as $125 million, but I see it in a situation where it's a 5-year deal, not a 6-year deal. You know, Hosmer I think is a better player than Chris Davis is with the Orioles, and Chris Davis got more money. But at the same time, you saw last season where sluggers didn't make as much money as they would have in the past. And so I think that's going to hurt his market a little bit. But it won't hurt it too much in the sense that he's still going to be a $100 million player, you know, $100 million plus. So do you see him returning to the Royals?
Yeah. The thing with Hosmer is he isn't much of a slugger. No, he hit 25 home runs this year, and that was his career high. He'd only cracked 20 once before. Hosmer, his rock is average and defense. I mean, he won a Gold Glove this year. I think that'll help his value. I agree with you, he's a $100 million-plus player. But I do think the Royals do bring him back. They need to bring back one of Cain, Moustakas, or Hosmer. And I think Hosmer's their guy. He's the youngest of the three. He's the most personable. He's got the most, like you said, Royals feel. I mean, he was the biggest part of that championship run that they had out of those three. You know, to stay relevant and to keep the fans interested, the Royals have to keep him. I mean, even if this power season from him was just a fluke, he's still a good player. And the Royals are going to be severely lacking in those in the upcoming years. I mean, their farm system isn't great. They're losing a lot of guys, as we just said. So I do see him returning to the Royals. I know the Red Sox have been linked to him, but I don't see that happening because I think if the Red Sox miss out on a J.D. Martinez, they'll just go back to Mitch Moreland, as they had last year, who put in a fine season for them on a one-year deal. But yeah, I think those are the real top two for Hosmer. And not to say that he can't get any better, but I just think given the circumstances, that's what's going to end up happening.
So what about Wade Davis? I know you saw a lot of Wade Davis in the fact that you live in the Chicago area. What do you think he'll do? Do you think he'll return to Chicago, or do you think he'll be playing elsewhere?
I do think he's leaving Chicago. We saw that he struggled a bit in the postseason, and that's not to take anything away from him. He's a great talent. He was absolutely dominant at the beginning of the season. But I think the Cubs are ready to move forward into another era as far as closers go. They showed. They let the Robles Chapman walk with no fight. And I think they're going to do the same with Wade Davis. I think he'll end up somewhere else. Where exactly, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of teams that need a closer. There's a lot of teams in flux with their bullpen. I think the Cubs, though, are ready to move forward. They have Justin Wilson for another year. Carl Edwards Jr. has shown some real flashes. He's a real talented kid. Mike Montgomery, he's the one who closed that Game 7 of the World Series for them. I think the Cubs have a lot of options. I don't think they'll be bringing Wade Davis back. I do think he'll be elsewhere.
Okay. And as for those other two Royals, so you talked a little bit about Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain most likely not returning. So where do you see the two going? Do you see them staying in the AL, or do you see them going to the NL, and where exactly?
I see them both still staying in the AL. I'll start with Lorenzo Cain. I think he goes to Texas. They're going to be losing Carlos Gomez. I don't think they're really keen on bringing Gomez back, so I think they're going to pivot to Lorenzo Cain. He was a top three MVP candidate a few seasons ago. I still think he brings some real value with his legs and his defense. Texas really needs that kind of backbone for their pitchers. The pitchers struggled last year. Andrew Cashner, Tyson Ross did not live up to expectations. I think Lorenzo Cain provides a strong backbone for that defense and the offense. I mean, he still has some legitimate pop, and even put him at the top of the lineup if need be. So I see Lorenzo Cain in Arlington next year. Moustakas, I'm going to feed the rumors. I think he goes to the Angels. I think I saw that he's an L.A. guy. He was born there. And I think the Angels, they have the money. Moustakas isn't going to break the bank. He hit almost 40 home runs this year and had a really breakout season a walk year. But he was very up and down, so to speak, in the past. So I think his strong walk year will help him. But I think not so much that it puts him out of the Angels' range. They just brought back Justin Upton. They have Mike Trout. Albert Pujols can still give you 100-plus RBIs that we just saw in this past season. But the Angels got putrid production out of the third base spot this past season. And I think they bring in Moustakas to form a good core with Upton, Trout, Simmons, and then him. I see that, and I think they want to try and get a wild card spot next year.
Okay. Now for, you know, a mutual link between both the Cardinals and the Orioles, Lance Lynn, Lance Lynn is one of those guys that personally, I think he's going to be out of the Orioles price range. I don't think they'll be able to sign him. And I know that's saying a lot because he isn't necessarily one of the, you know, A-tier free agents out there. He has been linked to the Orioles a lot, but I just feel like as of right now, you know, is no indication that the Orioles will spend on Lance Lynn. I mean, it would be great for them if they could bring in Lance Lynn, and he is an innings eater. But, you know, I just don't see it happening just because of what they've done in the past. You know, this is the same team that gave Ubaldo Jimenez $50 million in a 4-year deal. You know, they're not going to want to make the same mistake. Not that Lance Lynn is Ubaldo, and he hasn't been as up and down as Ubaldo, but, you know, it's just, it's a situation where they're afraid, or it seems like they're afraid to spend the money. Would you, if you're the Orioles, spend the money on Lance Lynn? I know that he was solid last season. He was really solid. So would they spend the money on Lance Lynn, or would you spend the money on Lance Lynn?
If it was me, I would spend the money on Lance Lynn. I don't think the Cardinals will, because, as we mentioned, they have a lot of young guys coming up. But like you said, I mean, the guy's a grinder. I mean, he was coming off Tommy John surgery and still had a really good year with a 3.43 ERA, still threw a ton of innings. I mean, the guy just goes out and grinds. I think, personally, he'd be great for the Orioles. I think he's exactly what they need, just a rock, someone you can always count on to go 6-plus. I think he'll be even better next year, a full 2 years removed from his Tommy John surgery. I mean, the guy still made 33 starts last year. I mean, and that was off Tommy John. Usually guys take a season before they get back to peak performance pre-surgery. And, you know, I love Lance Lynn. As a Cardinals fan, I've loved watching him. He's always been great for the team. You could always count on him. I'll be sad to see him go. Personally, I hate to say this, I do think the Cubs are going to poach him, because that's just kind of their moves, to poach the Cardinals pitchers. But if the Orioles would get him, they'd be getting a great player. They'd be getting a great backbone for their rotation. I think Lance Lynn, Dylan Bundy, and Kevin Gausman are the top three. It's really good. Especially, I think Lynn would be I think he'd be an overqualified number three starter. The guy just goes out and does his job. I'll be sad to see him go. I'll be happy to watch him have success in wealth, because he's undoubtedly going to still have success wherever he ends up.
Of course. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, it doesn't matter if he switches over to the AL, because he lost a little bit of velocity initially, but he showed that he could grind through it, and he regained his velocity at the end of the season. So it seemed, you know, and then he was able to become, he was a stabilizing force in that Cardinals rotation, you know? And I mean, you got to see it. I feel like he's one of those guys that he brings a lot to the Orioles rotation if they can sign him. And another player that they've also kind of talked about in that same breath is Alex Cobb. You know, Alex Cobb was a very good pitcher with the Rays. I mean, he also underwent Tommy John surgery. So, you know, it's one of those situations, but he's kind of battled injuries for a little bit, but he did go 12-10 with the 3.66 ERA. So it's not like the guy isn't good, you know. I mean, he is a solid pitcher. He's pitched in the AL East before. I mean, but he does rely heavily on a curveball. And sometimes when, you know, how it gets in Baltimore during the summer, you know, that curveball will hang a little bit and, you know, it'll fly off the bat. So, I definitely like Cobb. I mean, I've seen him pitch very well against the Orioles, you know, with my own two eyes. So it's not like the guy can't pitch. I mean, he's done it in the AL East. Of course he did it in Tropicana Field, which is a huge pitcher's park, but you know, with his ability to get guys out, that, you know, that's the kind of guy that you would want in a rotation. Whether the Orioles do decide to bring him in or not, I don't know. But it would make sense. It would make a lot of sense to me, because they've seen him enough that, hey, why not bring him in?
Right, and Cobb is one of those guys. You're right, he's been in the AL East forever. He knows the division. He's not afraid to pitch in Yankee Stadium or Fenway. And, you know, he was coming off Tommy John surgery this year, just like Lance Lynn. And the years prior to that, though, Alex Cobb was really good for the Rays. I mean, he was part of that rotation that with Chris Archer, and even when David Price was still there, and Matt Moore, when they were all really good together, and the Rays were kind of, they were a big reason that the Rays were in contention around that time. So I think Alex Cobb is going to be undervalued this year. I think he's going to be one of the last guys to go, and I think whichever team gets him is going to get him at a steal. I'm thinking somewhere in the range of 4 years and $70 million. I think he's going to be very undervalued. I think he's going to very much outplay his contract when the time comes. Not as much, more than Lance Lynn. I think Lance Lynn will also be undervalued this offseason, but I think Alex Cobb is one of those guys who is really going to get a smaller deal and then come out and pitch lights out, and whichever team gets him is going to be very thankful that they waited on him.
Of course. And what other free agents pop out to you that we haven't mentioned yet? I know a couple for me, Jay Bruce, who was actually linked to the Orioles last season, but, I don't think they would bring him in this season. I feel like they would kind of go in and more of a, I guess, a on-base percentage kind of guy. Also, I've seen Carlos Gonzalez, too. Are there any other guys that have jumped out at you? Any pitchers, any hitters, anybody in particular?
Right off the bat, I think Mitch Moreland is going to be undervalued again. He had to settle for a one-year deal with the Red Sox last year. Had another solid season. I think he'll end up somewhere probably in the AL again as a DH maybe. But he plays a really good first base and really solid defense. I wouldn't be surprised to see him with the Yankees if they try to shift Greg Bird over to the DH and have Moreland play first. That wouldn't surprise me. Elsewhere, I think Sun Wano, who was just released from the Cardinals, I think he's not the very dominant closer we saw in 2016, but he's also not as bad as we saw in 2017. There's somewhere in the middle there that a team will get a decent deal. You mentioned Carlos Gonzalez. I think his destiny is in the AL or the DH. I think there's going to be a team that looks for him, because he does have the track record of success. And, he had a down season. The Rockies obviously are moving forward into a new era. But I think a team that I don't think he's going to get more than a one-year deal with maybe a team option. But there's some value there for him. And, Carlos Gomez also is another one. He is not where he was in Milwaukee when he was hitting home runs, tape measure home runs and stealing 30 bags. But again, the guy still has some talent. It'd be foolish to just throw him away, just off to the wayside, not even give him a thought. But, I think those are the top guys. Jay Bruce is another one. couple of Indians, actually. Jay Bruce and Carlos Santana. I think Santana, he just won a Gold Glove, too, I believe. Switch hitting, power threat, can hit for average, has a very good OBP. And then Jay Bruce, too, with the Indians brought in midseason in August. He hit, I think, 7 home runs for them, provided a few RBIs. He was very valuable for them. I think both of those guys are going to get paid pretty well. Even though, as we mentioned, sluggers, their value is going down a little bit in this day and age. But I think those two guys still bring enough to the table. One of them wound up back in Cleveland as a replacement for the other. But they're still two very valuable guys that are coming out of Cleveland.
So what do you think about Logan Morrison and when we talk about sluggers, Logan Morrison and Yonder Alonso?
Yeah, those guys, they kind of break out years, as far as the power department. So I think teams will be a little wary, especially with Logan Morrison, because he kind of came out of nowhere with his power. Yonder Alonso always had the potential. He was playing in Oakland for a long time and in San Diego, so maybe teams will factor in that the park had something to do with it. But Logan Morrison is someone who I think will take a while. Logan Morrison will take a while to, who will take a while for them to get rid of. But he's a flyer. It depends. It depends on how much faith teams put into him as far as his breakout season.
Yeah, I mean, Logan Morrison, I feel like he's one of those, you know, he's a guy that we've seen in the past who has always had the potential. Same goes for Yonder Alonso, but Logan Morrison has played in, you know, leagues where he should excel, but he hasn't until this season for whatever reason. But, I mean, he's always had talent. You know, it just seemed that this year he finally put it all together with 38 home runs and 85 RBI. And I feel like if you fit him in with another team, like, you know, if he possibly DHs with the Red Sox, or, you know, that I could see that being a calling card for them. But they would, like you said, would have to take a flyer out on him. Same goes for if he possibly went to the Yankees. Yonder Alonso, same kind of deal. Although I do think with him, he could, you know, you could also see him end up in the AL East. I know a bunch of people in Baltimore will love to see Yonder Alonso play with his brother-in-law, Manny Machado, but that's just not going to happen. Not with Mark Trumbo blocking the way. So that's a pipe dream, but, you know, I do think he will be in the AL East. Like, I don't know where. I would like to say between the Yankees or the Red Sox, but, you know, that's just, it's just something that they're going to have to figure out, especially, before Stanton gets traded. So, you know, if Stanton gets traded to the Red Sox, I think they're probably going to go in a sit in a way where they want to keep that DH slot open and kind of rotate guys in DH just to rest them, but they'll always have, you know, very good hitters. So it's just really interesting to see how the pieces will fall during this offseason. We don't know yet what exactly is going to happen. I'd love to see some shakeup in the MLB. You know, some guys don't. I mean, some guys are big names. Some guys are not so known. But it's really interesting. Now, when it comes to prospects that are coming up during the Arizona Fall League, have you seen any prospects that have made an impression on you that, you know, they could be potential superstars? Anybody in particular?
You know, with the Fall League, it's always a little touchy. You know, you're never sure. I think it's still early, but obviously you always want to look at the top prospects of teams that are out there because it's because of obvious superstar potential. But, you know, no one really so far than your usual top prospects.
Okay. I mean, with when it comes to the Orioles, I just, you know, I paid attention to, I guess, a few of their prospects. One guy that stood out in particular was Anthony Santander and Tanner Scott. Those two guys will most likely see a lot of time in the MLB next season. Tanner Scott was more of a reliever in the MLB, but when he was in, they actually stretched him out. He started off as a reliever, and when he was in the minors, he was a starter. He was a short inning starter, and it's kind of a trend that we've been beginning to see around the MLB, where, you know, some of the top relieving prospects have been stretched out down in the minors, so that when they come to the majors, they're ready to pitch, you know, 3-4 innings. They're not as specialized as some of the other relievers were in the past. So, is that another thing that we could see in the future? Do you think that'll be the new norm, that relievers are stretched out down in the minors and then expected to take over 3-4 innings instead of, you know, that normal one inning guy?
Yeah, you know, the game's certainly moving that way with the fireman, so to speak.
the guy who can come in for multiple innings and put in some real work shoe. I mean, we've kind of seen it with Andrew Miller, a little bit, guys like that. But I think it's going to be more and more common to see as the game progresses.
Okay. And do you have any final thoughts on anything before Hot Stove starts or before the winter meetings start?
Just nothing too earth-shattering. Just, strap in, enjoy the deals that we see, enjoy the drama. That we're coming up to the peak drama time of the winter meetings. Stan's going to be a huge storyline, the rest of the free agents, J.D. Martinez and such. So, all I would say is just strap in and enjoy the ride.
Okay, well, like I said, thanks again, Jake, for joining the show. Plug away everything that you can, your Twitter, some of the other things that, other places that you write for. And like I said, guys, follow Jake on Twitter.
Yeah, guys, at Jake Hassan, too. You can find me all the places I write out there. I like to think of my Twitter game's pretty decent, so come for the jokes, stay for the content.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you joining the show again. And like I said, guys, it'll be a fun off season. Just like Jake said, strap in, have fun, and enjoy the off season. So, one last thing, Jake is not a catfish, I promise. All right, have a good one, guys.
Yeah, you too.